Cleopatra is in a bind. She is in hostile territory, Rome, with a child, and she is widowed. Now, I think at this point, there is a very interesting parallel between Cleopatra's real life and an Egyptian myth. Let me say something about perhaps the most central myth in all of Egypt, Isis and Osiris. Now, according to the myth, Isis and Osiris are husband and wife, sister and brother. And they come down to Egypt to civilize Egypt. Now, what I mean by civilizing Egypt is they teach Egypt farming and cattle raising. So they're no longer hunter-gatherers. They are a civilization that is sedentary. And it goes very well. And from Egypt, all other civilization spreads. Typical myth, you're learning that Egypt is the most important place in the world, and everything comes out of Egypt. Eventually, Osiris is killed, murdered by his brother, his evil brother, Seth. Right? But Osiris is resurrected by Isis by magic. She resurrects him. Now, in the form of a bird, she hovers over Osiris. He resurrects, impregnates her, and she has a child, the god Horus. Osiris becomes the god of the dead because he's the first person to resurrect, and he goes to the west. Now, what we have here is Isis, a widow, whose husband has been killed. She has an infant child whom she must protect. And there are trials and tribulations which Isis overcomes and protects Horus. This is exactly the situation Cleopatra's in. Exactly. She's got a child. Her husband has been murdered. She flees to Egypt. She flees. She must have thought, oh, I'm like Isis almost. She must have thought this. She stays there for several years. And then this is the end of the part of her life, which is with Caesar. Then Antony enters her life. Now, Antony is a general. He's no Caesar. He's not cultured. He's rough around the edges. And he asks to meet Cleopatra. Why? He needs Cleopatra's support because there's civil unrest in Rome, and he's going to have to wind up fighting Octavian, perhaps. So he goes to see if Cleopatra will back his war. Cleopatra meets him at Tarsus, but she makes an incredible entrance. She has this boat that's fabulous. They've got gold dishes on the boat, solid gold dishes. And the oarsmen are dressed as gods in costumes. And she pulls in, right? And she invites Antony, who has never seen anything like this, to dinner. And this is the stuff of which legends are made. At this dinner, she has these big pearl earrings on. And according to the legend, I don't know if this actually happened or even if it's possible, she takes off one of these big pearls that everybody's looking at, and she drops it in her wine cup, which is vinegar, partly vinegar, and it dissolves, and she drinks it, right, just to show the pearls mean nothing to her. After the party, she gives away the gold dishes to the guests as party favors. Right? Oh, you like the furniture? Take that too. Antony is impressed. He goes back to Egypt with her, and they sort of hang out together, and that's the best term for it. It's not official government business, but they are hanging out together. They are drinking. He's rough at the edges. She can live that kind of life too. And she becomes pregnant. Now, remember, he's no Caesar. I think Caesar was the love of her life. I really do. Antony's no Caesar. And she has twins by Antony. Twins. Now, remember, she named the son of Caesar Caesarion. Well, she has a boy and a girl. But she doesn't name the boy Antony. She names the boy Alexander Helios, Alexander the Son, named after Alexander the Great. She's looking back at her heritage. The girl is Cleopatra Selene, Cleopatra the Moon. So she has these two children. Antony has to go back to Rome, take care of business. And what does he do? He marries another woman. He marries Octavian's sister, Octavia. Political marriage. Makes sense. But Cleopatra must have been furious and deserted. I mean, she's a widow with three children, right? I mean, don't think of her as this poor, you know, woman with two in diapers. You know, she's queen of Egypt. She's doing all right. But she must have been furious.